The problem with Bitcoin today is specifically around stories like this, that people are still, you know, measuring it within the same broken chessboard that it was created to replace.
Altering the human experience to prevent something like eating meat is beyond the pale. This is just levels of depravity. It's sad to see this. This is what it's come to.
If you are one of these women who wants to leave but doesn't want to start a family, doesn't want to contribute to society, don't go to Panama, because we have a lot of Bitcoiners going there who want a peaceful life and not for you to bring your woke ideology.
So huddle on tight, you know, stack as much as you can, ignore the noise, focus really on what matters, understand Bitcoin. Once that's, you know, registered in your head, everything becomes much simpler.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer and Tony. Guys, jumping right into the news. Bitcoin has been dumping. People are freaking out. I don't know why, but if we look at this tweet from Smithson with, he says that the power law support right now, this is going to scare a lot of people, is at about $62,000. He's not saying we will, but we could go as low as this. While unlikely, if it does dip below this support, at worst, we'd spend 1 to 2 months before jumping back above it. I think $60,000 is very scary for a lot of people. Tony, take this one, man. Do you pay attention to the power law at all?
Me? Do I look like a guy who listens to this garbage? The problem with Bitcoin today is specifically around stories like this, that people are still, you know, measuring it within the same broken chessboard that it was created to replace. Bitcoin is not a speculation. It's not a risk on asset. You can't plug it on a chart and, you know, and doodle around and try to guess or predict its behavior. This is not the purpose of Bitcoin. This is not why it was created. But yet everyone to this day still does that. They come into Bitcoin because, you know, it's like the hottest thing on the block, and they get into it because of the number go up. That's why you see, you know, Bitcoin treasuries. That's why you see all of these TradFi services pop up, and why you see a lot of people dumping money only for them to scram, you know, like scared little bees as soon as something shifts slightly to the left. What does that tell you? It tells you no one understands a damn thing. They don't know why they're in Bitcoin. They don't know what it is that they're holding. They don't know what this represents. They don't understand that this is the money. This is the separation of money and state. It's not created for a bunch of retards to speculate on it to get more dollars. This is why you see the up and down all day long. If people understood what Bitcoin is and what it meant and what it represented and how it's supposed to be held and managed and used, we'd be at like $1 billion of Bitcoin by now. But of course not. You know, we're living on a planet of the retards here, where nobody's capable of any form of critical thinking. It's instant gratification, short-term gains. They want to put in $100 today and buy a Lambo by next Sunday. Like, what kind of clown world do you expect Bitcoin to perform well in? And so when we have these corrections, I don't think it's a bear market per se, but that's like my personal opinion. When you have this correction, then it's good, because for me, it flushes out all the clowns who don't belong here. And hopefully Bitcoin finds its way into hands of those who do. It was created for 8 billion people, but clearly 8 billion people don't deserve it. Only a handful of them do, and those are the ones that are actually putting in the work and focusing on what matters most. So I personally don't care about the power law or any other law when it comes to Bitcoin, Bitcoin on a chart. It's completely irrelevant. It doesn't belong there.
Yeah, completely agree. And I, if we could go to 62,000, I would be so happy.
Christmas, this would be the best gift to humanity. Let it go to 60. Let it go to 50. Let it flush out all these clowns that are out there. Let it do it.
I completely agree. The fundamentals are unchanged. Greer, what's your thought on power law generally, and then this particular comment?
I think power law is conservative. And, you know, they think it might be 1 million in the 2030s. I think it could be 1 million a lot sooner than that. But, you know, if we go to 62, goodness, it will probably happen on Thanksgiving Day. And I'll have to talk to my family about, you know, how I was wrong or how they believe I was wrong. But I agree with both of you. I would welcome a dip to 62. Bitcoin has not been easy for me. You know, I came in pleb class of 21. all I know is buying the top, buying the bottoms, just endless roller coaster. So, you know, this is nothing new. I think that, you know, all your models will be destroyed. We just don't know when. So credit to Sminston, because I think he does have some good analysis and I like following him, and he does pop a lot of bubbles. When people think a price won't go a certain way, he's usually there to correct the record. But I don't think this one, happens. I think that we are going to see a very relatively quick bounce here off of where we are at 91. Maybe we go lower to 86 or something like that. Frankly, I'm prepared. You know, I'm ready to go to my mother-in-law's house, you know, go through her garage, find out what I can sell. I will sell her car in order to buy the dip at 62 and try to pick up half a Bitcoin. But that's what we should be doing. Like, what can I get out of my life again in order to stack more sats? You know, this year I sold a camper to buy more Bitcoin. Like, what can I live without? You know, the list is extremely long.
The thing is, guys, the macro situation is going to get exponentially worse than it is now, believe it or not. So everything is going to break. There's no good news on the horizon anytime soon. You have $38 trillion of debt that no chance in hell can be repaid. How do you expect this to play out? There is a monetary reset along the way. And so it's going to take down so many things along with it. But the key here is to be able to survive it, to manage your situation, maybe have a little bit of, I guess, cash reserves just to weather the storm, not because you believe in it. It's because it's going to give you that extension so that you don't end up needing to spend or lose a lot of your Bitcoin until the storm passes, which it will. But, you know, until we get to that stage, you just have to figure out whatever works for you in order to get to the other side with, you know, the least pain possible. The fundamentals of Bitcoin have not changed. They will never change. And so you just need people's understanding of it to change. That is the key here. And if it's going to take, you know, financial, you know, annihilation for people to finally pay attention that saving in dollars or any other worthless paper is not a safety net, but an absolutely ridiculous decision, so be it.
Yeah. Tony, you hit on an important point. Not only have the fundamentals of Bitcoin not changed, the fundamentals of the macroeconomic picture have not changed. And the fact that there are a lot of people who don't understand that, and we see that in this sort of volatility to the downside, is irrelevant. I mean, we all know where this is headed, and we've got $38 trillion of U.S. national debt and no way to pay it off but to print. So time will tell where we end up in fiat-denominated terms. In the meantime, who cares? Take self-custody, be self-sovereign. That's the most important thing. Alrighty, guys, we're going to be all over the place on the news today. So from Leading Report, breaking, 40% of women aged 15 to 44 want to leave the U.S. permanently, per a Gallup poll. Greer, you get to take this one, man. Who are these women, and what do you think about this mindset?
Yeah, goodbye. These are left-wing women. These are people that gave up on the promise of starting a family, of working from home, raising their kids, and instead they've bought into all of the ideology that comes from the left, and it leads you nowhere. There is no place, I think, maybe Panama, other than America, where these women would enjoy living. So, you know, if they left, society would probably turn around on a dime. We wouldn't have cancel culture. We wouldn't have the problems that we have today from people who, you know, have the right to vote, have the right to run a company. But they've let men play in women's sports. They've completely destroyed what they were created to be, which is women who are strong, mothers, wives. And I think that, you know, if they left, which of course we know they're not going to, but I think we'd see the culture itself turn around and start to heal. You know, left-wing ideology is a cancer. We should be focusing on our self-interest, what makes us better people, what makes our communities better and stronger. And that starts with the family. If you don't like it, you know, goodbye, get out. There are plenty of other places to live.
I agree with you, Greer. Just to clarify, if you are one of these women who doesn't, you know, who wants to leave but doesn't want to start a family, doesn't want to, you know, contribute to society, don't go to Panama, because we have a lot of Bitcoiners going there who want a peaceful life, and not for you to bring your woke ideology to Panama. Tony, what would you add?
And nothing more to add. You guys nailed it. I just wonder where they're going to go to, and whose lives are they going to, you know, make miserable if that's who they are that are leaving.
I've got a great answer for you. Up next, we've got the euthanasia regime in Canada is expanding. So maybe they'll go there and take their woke ideology. Powerful advocacy groups are now pressuring the federal government to open the door to euthanizing children. Enough. So basically, you know, if you are contemplating suicide, if you're depressed as a child, they are trying to open the doors for you to just die. Very sad times. I think a logical conclusion to many of the sorts of policies and ideologies that we confront today. But Greer, if you want to take this one first.
Yeah. What is going on up north? I mean, this to me is just absolutely anti-human. The fact that they allow euthanasia at all is just terrible. You don't want to live in a place like this. And the fact that they're going to allow it for kids, for children, this is horror beyond my imagination. I would never imagine a government who says, hey, if you're not feeling well today, why don't you just end your life completely? This is not the answer. People have completely lost their way. And as I said a minute ago, I think purpose comes from having a family, starting a family, becoming a better, stronger version of yourself. And that comes through focusing on what God has created you to become. You know, that is the answer to all of this. You know, I feel bad. Honestly, I can't imagine what it would be like to live in Canada. And if it were me, I would be thinking about how quickly can I get out of this hellhole?
Yeah. So those are the people we do want going to Panama who realize that this is insane. Tony, you spent some time in Canada and you've probably watched from afar just a lot of the slippery slope as it's gone down the tubes. What's your take?
Well, I know Canada from a long time ago, man. When I knew it, it was nowhere near what it is today. It's north and south now in comparison. And I feel bad for, you know, people that are having such thoughts. I mean, I can somehow relate to it because for almost a year, these same dark thoughts were also going through my head. And so, but I can't imagine, you know, being in a place that'll encourage me to go through with my thoughts. This is what I find so shocking and appalling in all of this. I don't know, like I'm really at a loss of words here to know that there is a government of all things that, you know, encourage and facilitate these things. And I mean, somebody who's already having dark thoughts is in a very fragile, you know, state of mind. They don't need much to go overboard. And so the approach shouldn't be to push them. It should be to extend, you know, a hand to pull them away from these thoughts. And the fact that they're not doing it just casts a very bright spotlight at who these people are. And I've said it in the past, what we have today, not just in Canada, but like in many places around the world, these aren't governments in the definition that we've been taught. These are like, you can think of them as adversaries that are now acting openly, aggressively, and without any restraint. And I don't know for how long this is going to keep going before there's any real pushback. And the pushback has got to come from the people. Otherwise, this is not going to stop. And whether people want to bury their heads in the sand thinking it'll never affect them, that's just as foolish. Because sooner or later, your turn will 100% come. And then nobody's going to be standing there to help you, because by then it's too late. So it's a very dark time for Canada, man. I mean, if you're there and you've got the means, like, get out. I mean, stop wasting time. Figure out a plan B. There are much nicer places to be in. First of all, that are way less cold and that are not going to destroy you with taxes. Most Canadians today work more than half a year for free. Like, just from a common sense point of view, why would you do that?
It's pure insanity. Yeah. And for anyone who, you know, might be, I feel like it's worth saying, if anyone's struggling with this, first of all, I know you're not alone, and DM me. I mean, you know, I'd love to provide some encouragement because I know that this is a real challenge many people are facing. Alrighty, guys, up next, they want you allergic to meat. A peer-reviewed paper argued it's ethically permissible to let ticks infect Americans with a red meat allergy to fight climate change. This isn't a joke. It's bioethics via bioweapon.
I can just speak for myself. My entire way of eating would be utterly destroyed. So I need to make sure I avoid these ticks at all costs. Tony, this is just like classic big government intervention, tyranny, 1984. What do you think?
Remind me never to have a stake in the U.S., man. This is not a gamble I'm willing to take. But when I read this, I thought it was a joke. I mean, I figured there's no way something like this would be real, but it looks like it is, and it's absolutely horrifying. Like how would you know? Like, I mean, unless like you drop dead because of some unknown reason, and then you find out later on that it's an allergic reaction to something that is connected to a story like this. Like how would you react at that point? Is it like, can it be reversed? Is it too late? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I actually knew a gal who was bit by one of these ticks and was allergic to meat. I think after, I don't know, 3-5 years, something like that, she finally was able to start eating red meat again. But the only thing she could eat for a long time was, I think, chicken or something. So yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. Greer, anything you'd add?
There was a death recently. I think it was even last week, where a man from New Jersey ate a burger and died. And they found out after his death that he was allergic and was bitten by one of these ticks. You know, release the guinea fowl. Guinea fowl love eating ticks. So I think that we need to start looking at how can we get more guinea fowl into places like Texas, where I think this tick has originated. But yeah, this is just showing you the capacity for evil based on pseudoscience like man-made climate change. Maybe the climate changes, you know, we probably need to study it more, but altering the human experience to prevent something like eating meat is beyond the pale. You know, this is just levels of depravity that it's sad to see this. This is what it's come to. But I think if we find solutions to combat this, you know, making sure you heal your gut, you know, raw milk has been suggested to be one antidote to this, which again is a whole other rabbit hole that you might want to spend time looking at. But yeah, I say release the guinea fowl, let them eat the ticks. And I hope nobody suffers from this. This really needs to stop.
Yeah, big middle finger to all these people as well. Alrighty, guys, Zcash is a shit coin. So we have seen a lot, like this is like a major pump, clearly some money behind it or a lot of influencers involved. Out of nowhere, they're talking about a coin that's what, you know, 8-10 years old or something like that. But it's the so-called privacy chain. And they talk about the insiders being rewarded through the founder's reward. Greer, I think you had some comments on Zcash and your particular opinion.
My opinion is to stay away. This is a pre-mined token. And it's funny, you see a lot of people talking about how they purchase Zcash or how it will be the next Bitcoin. But the purpose of Zcash is allegedly privacy. So why would you tell anyone you purchased it if the goal was to stay private? It just doesn't make sense. I think that also think about, what was it? Pepe coin, fart coin. I mean, the list of shit coins is, you know, 10,000 to 20,000 long. You know, this is another, in my opinion, pump and dump scheme. And I, you know, while you might be wanting to chase gains and put a little bit of your stack into this, I would just say, like everything else from Caspa and all the others, stay away. You know, Bitcoin is the only thing that's going to protect you. All of these others are run by someone else. You know, Bitcoin is open source and verifiable. No one controls it. So, you know, learn the lesson at your peril, but be patient, stack sats, and make sure that you know why you hold Bitcoin in the first place.
Tony, any comments on Zcash specifically or shitcoins in general?
No, avoid all this garbage entirely. And if you really want a privacy coin, well, in that space, there's only one, and that's Monero.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, people just need to understand who is behind whatever the project is. And honestly, I agree with you, Tony. The challenge with Monero, though, is it was 51% attacked, mm-hmm. Just a few months ago?
Yeah.
The problem isn't necessarily the underlying tech, but the security based on the network effects, the mining. There are so many elements that go into making sure that it can actually stay private, regardless of what the code base says. So just important to make sure you understand what it is you're getting into. Alrighty, Trump says he's not ruling out deploying U.S. troops on the ground in Venezuela. like who's next? Are we just gonna like go after everyone? Wasn't it? It was Yemen. Then it was we've obviously been involved in a number of other skirmishes. Now we've got Venezuela. It's just insanity at this point. Greer, as an American, what's your thought?
You know, I think we voted for Trump because he wasn't going to start any new wars, you know, and I think you can have your own opinion on whether or not we should have attacked Iran's nuclear sites and even if that was effective. But we don't want more war, you know, and I think what we want are trade negotiations. We want to have trade that is balanced between countries. And you can look at this and say Venezuela has a ton of oil and we are trying to fight back Chinese influence in our region. And I understand those arguments, but it shouldn't come at the cost of troops on the ground. And I honestly, I think they're trying to sell us a war. They're blaming on the drug cartels. But I wouldn't even point out that the Venezuelan drug cartels are the closest or the most dangerous that we have. We are just living in a complete alternate timeline. Did not imagine that we would be here. And yeah, I'm not a fan of this.
Tony, to me, this feels like an excuse for the money printer. It feels like an excuse to feed the military-industrial complex. Are you seeing that the same way?
100%, man. You can never believe what they say because there's always, you know, like a back door, an agenda, you know, behind everything. This is not the first thing that we hear of Trump, you know, saying he was going to do and then he reverses on it. There's been many others. And that just goes to prove, man, that, you know, you're not the priority. The people aren't the priority. The people are just these things that they have to deal with and work around in order to get, you know, their narratives in place. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And this is why, you know, these games continue to unfold because, you know, there's no accountability. The day that ends is the day you start seeing real change. But, that change has to come from the people. It's not going to land from the sky on its own. You know, your freedom, it's not given, it's taken. Everybody knows that, but yet nobody does anything about it.
Well said. And not only is the no war president looking at starting wars, he is also the first crypto president who is considering allowing the IRS to access and tax foreign crypto accounts owned by Americans. This is not what many people voted for, but I know a lot of MAGA is going to continue cheering it on. Tony.
Isn't he the one who said he's going to shut down the IRS?
I don't know. I was kind of hoping the shutdown had extended long enough that many of their furloughs.
I believe I read somewhere that he was going to shut down the IRS or fire a whole bunch of them and that, you know, America's going to make its money from tariffs, not by taxing the people. Well, guess what, buddy? You've just been suckered into not only being taxed at home, but if you're hiding somewhere, you know, on some tropical island, the goons are coming for you there. That's who you voted for. Congratulations.
Any solution to this?
To the IRS?
No. To having your foreign crypto accounts taxed.
Man, opt out of this entire rotten system. You know, stop using their product. And you know, once you do that, and you cut all ties with this organization, and you know that worthless paper that they're offering you, then you know you function by a whole new set of rules that are controlled and manipulated by no one. And so, but as long as you use their product, yeah, unfortunately, you have to abide by their rules. And if you owe them taxes because of some mandate that they created out of thin air as well, then you're going to have to pay it. Otherwise, you better have a plan on dealing with the goons they're going to send your way, which I don't recommend anyone does.
Yes. Self-custody for the win. Greer, any final comments on that one?
No, I mean, I know that Trump's trying to make the U.S. the crypto capital of the world, and I'm not even sure what the use case for this is or what the prevalence is. Goodness, how much revenue do they think they're going to generate? Obviously, they can think of new ways to tax people. They're very good at it. This is just one stone that so far has been left unturned. So I guess what they have to do is figure out how they can extract as much wealth as possible. But I also think if you're an American and you have foreign crypto accounts, you're not doing it the right way anyway. You know, purchase Bitcoin, move it to self-custody, and don't sell it. And that keeps you from having any kind of tax liability. So I just think that this is probably an edge case. But, you know, when a government and a country goes broke, they're going to look anywhere to find revenue.
I could see this being like the whole penny fiasco where it costs 4 cents to make one penny and they're going to spend how much for the IRS to go after. And they're going to spend more on the salaries and the operations for the IRS than they are anything that they're going to be able to tax. But we'll see what happens. Alrighty, guys, I was unaware. Apparently, Ledin used to have crypto, like crypto-backed lending, and now it's Bitcoin only. So big step in the right direction. Tony, I know what you think about lending products. Do you have any comment on why maybe it took them so long to focus on Bitcoin only, though?
I don't know. Maybe they're starting to see the light as well. But again, all of these products are not products that I recommend at all, because all they are doing is extending the lifeline of the very system that Bitcoin was created to replace. I know that's very hard for so many people to wrap their brains around because, you know, you've always been accustomed to having credit, right? And, oh, I need to buy this. Oh, I need to buy that. So I need to use these products. But just know that the more you use them, first of all, you're introducing a lot of counterparty risk that you may not be thinking about right now. Like that flash crash that we had, you know, a lot of people who have been borrowing who have not been careful with their LTVs could have been margin called and lost everything. Are you going to hear about it? Of course not. Who's going to tell the world, you know, they were wrecked? It's going to go, you know, quietly into, into the shadows. But it does happen, and I know it's going to continue happening. So you need to stop using these products, ETFs, Bitcoin treasuries, borrowing, lending. All of this is counterparty risk that are controlled by rules that you have no say over. So if people with a lot of liquidity decide one day to coordinate a dump, they will do it. And guess who's going to become a casualty of that dump? Well, it's you, the unsuspecting user who thought, you know, he was getting free money. There's no such thing. You opt out. Bitcoin is the money. You hold it in self-custody. You learn how to use it, and you start living in that future. The more people understand this and the more people stop, you know, giving a lifeline to all of this nonsense, the quicker we move into the world that everybody wants. So is it going to take a lot of pain to get there? Well, it's very clear to me that the answer to that is yes. And the fact that they removed crypto, well, good for them. They're like cleaning up their image, so to speak. But that doesn't change the fact that their service is a big counterparty risk. Even though the folks behind it have great intentions, they're amazing people, no denying that. But the service itself, you cannot deny that it's nothing more than a counterparty risk.
Absolutely. It's and by the way, Tony, you hit on an important point. We were talking about the power law. Who knows if it's valid, if it's going to hold. But if we dip to 62 or even below 62, what's that going to mean for the number of people margin called? Greer, I'm sure that's something you've been thinking about as well.
You took the words out of my mouth. Margin call. That's exactly what I was thinking. Of course they want Bitcoin. You know, every business is going to be Bitcoin only. And to just, you know, kind of go back to a story we talked about last week with Square, you know, offering 4 million businesses the chance to, you know, offer their customers transacting in Bitcoin. With Square, you don't even need to have the Bitcoin. You can send them dollars, which get converted to Bitcoin. And to me, that says the incentives are changing in real time. So yeah, Ledin is 100% Bitcoin only. Fantastic. But you are going to see retailers say, we'd rather be paid in Bitcoin than in dollars. And that will be an incentive for them. And they will probably offer you a lower price on the same goods if you pay in Bitcoin, even if you don't have it. So I think get used to more people saying 100% Bitcoin only. It's, you know, it will drive out bad money because Bitcoin, even though maybe today we're not excited, it will be going up. Do you think the price is going to be at 91 5 years from now? You know, of course not. We're going to be a lot higher. So just lower your time preference, zoom out a little bit, and, you know, read the writing on the wall. Everyone wants Bitcoin.
Yeah, well said. Alrighty, guys, let's hustle through these last two. We've talked a lot about Nakamoto. This might be the nastiest graph I've seen in a very long time. This is Zinc's BTC on X. It appears they did not complete their SEC filing on time, and it's come out that they paid almost $180 million in fees to the company that raised $740 million for them. Nakamoto, kindly MD, is at least at the time of this post in the last day or two, was at 57 cents. The treasury codes are struggling. Greer, Take it away.
Ah, goodness. I hope everyone had a really good time playing this game. You know, we warn people, stay away from the treasury companies. Yes, everybody's cheering on adoption, but if they don't have a good business model, it's not going to work. And if you got in at the top, congrats, maybe you got a chance to get out. But really, this is a story for retail. Like, you know, stay away from things that you don't understand, that are overcomplicated, that are over-engineered, and haven't been tested before. You know, Bitcoin has 16 years of experience that you can draw from. You know, the dips that we're seeing right now are normal. They're healthy. They clean out leverage. They create a base for going higher. You know, where does Naka go from here? I really don't know. I think the next question is, you know, who purchases the Bitcoin that they have on their balance sheet? Do they get taken over by a more wealthy treasury company? And then we watch them sort of eat each other. You know, I'm glad I stayed away from this one. Feel bad for anybody that had, you know, high expectations. But again, anything that you invest in the stock market is counterparty risk. You cannot send your shares of your stocks to your cold card wallet. You know, only Bitcoin can you hold in self-custody. And I think counterparty risk is something that we need to be talking about a lot more. The banks have it, the stocks have it, your 401k has it. You know, you don't want it.
Tony, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say I told you so, if you would like.
Yeah, man, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. They should have taken tips from the Haktua girl. She seemed to have, you know, pulled this off a lot better than they did.
Alrighty, I think that's a good comment. Moving on, last story here. So this is cool, guys. 95% of the total Bitcoin supply has now been mined. I would say the genius of Satoshi Nakamoto was getting a lot of Bitcoin out into the world quickly and then making it the best stock to flow in the world, even over something like gold. We've got 5% to go over the next 100+ years, which is pretty amazing. Any comments on this, Tony?
Stack as much as you can, guys, and the window of time to do this is really, really small. I know we keep harping on this, but it's true. You have big players now that are really paying attention to Bitcoin and are coming up with all sorts of creative ways to separate, you know, unsuspecting folks from them. Don't belittle the number on the screen just because you have a small amount of it, like you think it's a completely irrelevant and worthless amount of Bitcoin. It's not. The scarcity of Bitcoin is something, you know, the world has never known before. So even though the number is tiny, it represents a purchasing power that you can't possibly fathom right now because we're not yet living, you know, in that world. But that world, we're accelerating towards it. And how do I know and why am I so sure of it? It's because I see the calamity that's happening in the legacy world. The faster things deteriorate, that's the signal to me that we are shifting into something new. And, you know, this is just the reset that we're going through until we get there. So huddle on tight, you know, stack as much as you can, ignore the noise, focus really on what matters, understand Bitcoin. It's not a speculation again, it's a savings technology. Once that's, you know, registered in your head, everything becomes much simpler.
Greer, final comments?
I'll give you a number that I like, 5,384. That is the amount of Bitcoin that all 195 countries on Earth could purchase of the issuance that remains. So a little over a million coins left for all time that haven't been mined. And if every country wanted it, 195, all of them would only be able to get, you know, 5,000 or more, and that's it. So I think that we're watching this as a timer ticking down, you know, tick tock, next block, slowly and steadily. You should be buying as much Bitcoin as you're able to afford. And it doesn't matter if it's $5 or $100, but do it consistently and make sure that you've protected yourself when the world goes sideways. You know, the time is running out. Maybe we'll have 3 years or 5 years or 10 years to stack some sats. But once the music stops, you definitely want to be sitting on Bitcoin.
Sage advice. Guys, great chatting. For everyone who tuned in, really appreciate you being here. Thanks for listening as always. Stick around for another minute to learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, and we'll be back here next time. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.